a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for that news update on the half hour. And as we head into the final home stretch here, our buddy Bob Grove is on the line with us, guys, and fun to check in with you. Not fun to get the conversation started, Bob, though, on what happened down there on that beautiful stretch of road leading into Bryce Canyon, one you are very familiar with. And I know you don't have probably any new details of the bus accident that was carrying all of those Chinese tourists, but four, at last count that I saw, had died. We still have three that were in critical condition. And you were not far away when that happened, were you?
No, we had. I had a group with me. We had just left Bryce about an hour prior to the crash. I think we were at Cedar Breaks National Monument at the time of the crash. I learned about it when I reached Cedar City for lunch, because all of a sudden my phone started going crazy with phone calls and text messages.
Well, I wanted to make sure it wasn't you on that bus.
Yeah, and I appreciated everybody's concern, but it kind of shook my group up a little bit when they heard about it. But yeah, it's what a tragedy.
Yeah, and I guess we don't know at this point whether speed was a factor. The conditions, as far as road conditions go, were good, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, they were fine. Just, it was just normal conditions. The weather was nice. Nothing unusual.
It was a new driver,
I tell you, I haven't seen the park so busy in some time. There was a lot of traffic. But I don't know if that contributed to it. I think he just got, I don't know if he was distracted or what, but it sounded like he veered off to the right and then overcorrected.
Yeah. And as Russ was saying a minute ago, it is or was a new driver for that particular service, and he had recently been hired.
Yeah, I read that recently as well.
Yeah. Anyway, they're doing an investigation. I don't want to overthink it because we don't have the answers. I just know that you were down there at that time, and that rattled me a little bit because I was worried about you.
Bob, how many tour buses, regardless of who's in them, but how many tour buses come through Utah a day? I mean, there's a lot of people coming through.
Yeah, there's hundreds, if not thousands, not a day, but I mean, there's a lot. I've actually, to be honest with you, Russ, I've actually seen somewhat of a decline in buses in the last couple of years. Not to say that it isn't still a prolific number, but I think I've seen a few, many of the motor coaches you see on the roads these days are predominantly Asian groups.
Right.
The Asians travel in groups like that, and they're mostly Asians. Western Europeans and Americans don't travel by bus as much as we used to, but I've seen a decline in that in the last couple of years. But there's still, Bryce Canyon is a big bus destination. They get a lot of buses there, as they do down in Page, Arizona. So, yeah, there's a lot of that bus traffic going through there.
I wanted to. Did you have something?
Well, I was going to say, what's the typical route? A lot of them originate in Las Vegas. They come up through Utah. Do those buses go all the way up into Yellowstone?
Some of them do on the longer tours. A lot of them are coming out of L.A., some Vegas, some Phoenix, some out Salt Lake. But on that route, on 12, they're generally running between Zion and Bryce, or they're coming over from Capitol Reef along Highway 12. Yeah. So there's some very specific tour routes that most follow. When I'm on our Grand Circle tours, I'll see pretty much the same buses and people throughout the tour who are all following the same route.
Yeah.
So when they're on 12 there, they're either heading on over to Zion or coming from Zion, or they may be heading back up to Salt Lake. But, yeah, those are some pretty heavily traveled routes.
Well, of course, Highway 12 is one of our favorite places to get on the two-wheeled monsters and head. It is part of the attraction of going to Bryce and other parts of Utah along that route. Let's talk for a minute, Bob, about why people come to see Bryce in the wintertime. We're about to make that turn, and I know that people don't think of it because of its location, but it's kind of a cold spot.
Well, Bryce is magical in the winter. To see those hoodoos covered with snow, it just adds another layer of contrast and color. You know, it's just that you can go Nordic skiing, snowshoeing. They have a big winter festival in February on, in fact, I was looking up the date for this year.
Well, they've got photography and seminars and things going on during that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, it's usually over President's Day weekend. They have a lot of outdoor activity as well as craft fairs and all. I mean, they have something for everybody. It's a pretty big event. It's a fun time to be there. But Bryce is one of, you know, during the winter months, like Yellowstone. I love Yellowstone in the winter. That's my favorite season in Yellowstone. Bryce, too, first of all, you don't have the crowds.
Yeah.
So you're not going to run into any crowds, but it's a pretty magical place. You know, it's a winter wonderland.
Do you do tours in the winter down there? Is it slow enough that you don't get that much of a demand?
Well, the tricky thing during the winter months is weather. You know, so if you plan tours during the weather, I remember I was there on one trip, just a personal trip at Bryce, and I saw two Japanese buses come rolling in, and it was completely fogged in. I mean, it was snowing and foggy. You weren't able to see Bryce. So that's always the risk, is that if you go during the winter months, often because it's so high, it's 8,000 feet there, between 8,000 and 9,000 feet. So they're going to get a lot of weather there during the winter months.
Yeah. I don't think most people know, and you ran down a laundry list there a minute ago of the activities that are still available to you down there. And like Yellowstone, and I'm glad you drew that line of comparison, like Yellowstone, even if you've been to Bryce in the summertime, it's a different world. And to see that red rock capped off with some white snow, it's something that doesn't get paired up anywhere else in the world, I don't think.
No, very few places. You know, Bryce is unique. It's, on my bigger tours, it's the last park we visit of seven national parks. And so I always leave it to the last because it kind of tops off the tour, because everything else we've seen isn't anything like it. It's unique to itself. You know, you got those magical hoodoos, you know, that the trickster coyote Sinawava turned to the legend people, the people of rocks, and it's just a fun place. I mean, it's just a really magical place. It's fun to go down. You know, if you go to Bryce, don't just walk on the top. You got to drop down into the amphitheater, go on the trails, the Queen's Garden Trail, Navajo Loop, Peekaboo trails, you know, because once you get down below, it just transforms the entire experience into something entirely different.
Do you know if they groom cross-country trails down there?
I think up on the rim they do, up on the top, and maybe on the road, not on the road, but up on the top. But down below, usually it's generally better to go snowshoeing down on the trails down below the rim.
One of the last times we got together, the three of us, Russ and Bob, was on a snowmobile trip down in that part of the state.
That's right.
I still have that picture that rotates from time to time through my desktop.
Yeah, I think that was up on Cedar Breaks, wasn't it?
It was, overlooking some of that beautiful red rock.
Yeah, we got to do that again. It looks like we're going to have another one of those winters.
It's
kind of shaping up to be that way.
Yeah. So if people are thinking about going down there, it used to be one of the only places you could stay, or the only place you could stay was Ruby's, but boy, they've got a lot of options for hotels on either side of the road leading into Bryce now.
They do. They have the Grand Bryce Canyon Grand Hotel across the street from Ruby's. And, of course, Ruby's is a big operation. That's one of the largest hospitality and tour operations in this region. And there's a lot of rooms, you know, so you can stay at Ruby's Inn, you can stay at the Grand, you can stay at the Bryce View. What's really fun, I don't know if you guys have been there or not, is Ebenezer's Barn and Grill.
Oh, yeah.
That's where they have a Western dinner show in the evenings during the summer months. I was just there, so it's really fresh in my mind. But they've got a wonderful Western dinner show there. A lot of the performers are from Nashville. So it's if you're going to go down there, you got to include that to really kind of like the Bar J Wrangler type of thing, you know?
Yeah. I smile when you bring that up because the last time we were there to go to Ebenezer's, we were on our border-to-border ATV ride, and we were joking about coming in dirty because we had to slow down the speed of our travel that day because we were nursing a very low gas reading on a couple of our ATVs, and we limped them back onto the road there and literally pushed them to the gas station before we came in. So we had an appointment for dinner and the show, and we came in without showering or anything. So we were always joking about, we're coming in dirty. Hey, look, if people want to use your services or find out more about some of these great places in Utah, tell them how to find you.
Real easy. Just come to my website at roadtrippinwithbob.com.
Road Tripping with Bob. Bob Grove, as always, great catching up with you.
Always a good time. Got to come up there and see you guys sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Or we'll come see you. We'll do that, too.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. We will take a break. When we come back, it's, well, we'll talk to Yusuke about what's left of this bicycle adventure that he's got going on and finish out the show. So don't go away.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey. As we get ready to wrap things up this morning, I appreciate Samurai Eddie coming in studio with us. And I'll let you say his name. I'm normally good at this stuff.
It's Yusuke Yamanaka.
Yusuke Yamanaka. Samurai Eddie is so much easier than this.
Yeah.
You checked in with us, I guess, it was about a month ago, Yusuke, and you were in Montana, I think.
Nearby to Jackson, I think.
First time he was actually in Banff, Canada.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On his way down from Alaska. And this adventure of yours, I've heard that you worked your tail off for a couple of years, making great money, and you just said, you know, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. What I want to do is go explore the world.
Right.
And I think I'll do it on my bicycle, which, by the way, is sitting downstairs in the lobby of Triad Center, and we've got a guard watching it. I could tell you've become attached to that thing, because even with a guard standing watch, inside locked doors, you still put the lock on it. Like, that's your life now, right?
Right.
If you lose the bike, you lose everything you've got planned.
Mm-hmm. My bicycle is everything for now.
Yeah. So. How's your butt, by the way?
Some say it's good, Tim.
You never asked me that question.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
You have taken a little bit of a break here, and that was your plan. If you find some place you like to stop and hang out for a while, you're just going to do that.
Yeah, exactly. As I say, I have a lot of friends here, and then Utah is pretty fun place for outdoor, you know?
Yeah.
So you
came down from Alaska through Canada, then down to Montana and over to Wyoming. I think you were headed to Yellowstone last time I checked in with you.
Yeah, Yellowstone, Teton, then, yeah.
And then down to Utah. How long are you going to stay? Or have you made that decision yet?
I'm still thinking, but whole winter season, it sounds pretty fun because I can ski, snowboard.
Let me just tell you this. You kind of have to make this decision soon because it's going to get pretty cold here in the next little while.
Right.
So you're either going to stay or you're going to go. And if you're going to go, you better get while the getting's good.
Right. Yeah.
Look, when he rides off, if it gets too cold, he can ride off because he's headed to Mexico and then Central America.
Yeah.
So that's always a possibility. But, you know, he's a pretty incredible skier, snowboarder. And in fact, if you recall, Mickey skied with him over on
in Japan.
Hokkaido, right?
Yeah, we went to Niseko. And then last year, well, 2 years ago, actually, Mickey came to the Niseko. And it was awesome. The powder snow, and it was
great. He's holding up his hand really high to the you people at home, by the way.
My question is, how do you carry the snowboard or the skis on the back of that bike? I didn't see him when you came in here.
Well, that's a problem, but some people do that, actually. So I may be able to do that, too.
I've seen guys do that this time of year or toward the end of the season on the back of their motorcycle, which is also, I would think, not advisable. But for those that don't remember the story, you're going to go, as Navi said, down to South America, Mexico.
Yep.
Where's your final destination?
It's Ushuaia, Argentina, which is very south point in Argentina. So, yeah.
Yeah. If you do leave Utah, or when you leave Utah, where do you head next?
Probably Arizona. I really want to see a lot of nature stuff. So
Grand Canyon.
Well, there are a lot of national park in Utah.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, he was in Bryce this past weekend. The boys took him down.
Yeah.
Even if he does leave early, he's flying back to Mexico because we're going to Cabo surfing in June. So he's going to join us there. So he's just going to get the best of all worlds as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
What's the worst thing you've had to eat on this trip?
Eat.
Worst thing.
Well, it's not super worst, but... when I was in Yukon, there are no grocery store, so I ate edible wild plant. It tastes gross.
Gross, yeah. He was saying, if you follow him on Instagram, like one time he caught a grayling, okay? I don't know who eats a grayling because they're terrible.
If you're hungry enough.
But he had no humans, no grocery stores, so... You know, eating grayling that you caught is all you had, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, it was pretty good for me. Probably I cook well, so.
Where are you staying on this trip? I mean, are you doing, like, little hostels?
Usually I do wild camping, but I think I told already before. There's one website called Warm Showers, which is, couch surfing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... like a cyclist version of couch surfing.
Yeah, and I think there's one that has the word couch in it. You can couch surfing.
Yeah.
That's what he was saying. Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay. But people just offer you a place to crash, and they hope when they go out on their backpacking or their cycling trip, they can do the same at your place.
Yeah.
All right, you've said this might take a couple of years. And if you hang out here long enough, it might take longer than that.
Okay.
Navi came to Utah, never left.
That's absolutely true. No, like he talked about that warm shower website. Look, people who travel, the part of what you travel is to meeting the people wherever you go. If you didn't meet the people where you visit, you just didn't have a great time.
Yeah.
And so when somebody comes from a faraway place, you could take a trip and never leave the farm. You know, Yusuke is in town. It's a party for everybody. and we'd rather have him. And like, he brought me some cookies the other day, and I go, you don't need to bring me cookies, Yusuke. That's Japanese. We want you here because we're family, and we prefer you being here.
Yeah. Are you, you said you have a website, right? Which is what?
Yeah.
You have a website?
What's your website?
Oh, my website, right? SamuraiEddie.com.
All right. Yeah. And so that's acting sort of as a journal and probably a photo journal for all
blog.
Of your experiences. That'll be fun to follow. And for anybody that wants to do that, we would encourage that.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, it's all in Japanese right now.
Oh, that's a problem for me.
Writing.
Yeah.
But while I'm staying in Utah, probably I put like a Google Translate function on my blog.
That'll be
so
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a great life experience. And as I said, we're all a little bit jealous of having nothing or everything to do on any given day. It's what we all strive for. Thanks for coming in this morning, and thanks for checking in with us from time to time.
Thank you so much.
All right. We're going to break. Don't go away. We have Cougar football coming up. The Cougs are on their road to Toledo. Pre-game activities coming up next here on the home of the Cougars, and then followed by kickoff a couple of hours from now at 10 o'clock. Keep it here. Have a great day.